Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Awakening Podcast,
a place of honest and authentic conversations.
I'm your host, Timmy.
And I'm Uriel.
And this week, we wanted to have a conversation about the topic of expectations as it relates to ourselves, the expectations we have of others, and the way that it actually impacts the way that we live our lives. And so, Uriel, to start off, I wanted to ask you this. Whether with ourselves or with others in our relationships, how do you see that the expectations we have impact our perspectives, our thoughts, and or our feelings?
I think this is an excellent topic. I've actually been kind of waiting a long time for us to discuss the concept of expectations, because I think, generally speaking, and at least in my own life, when I have set expectations for specific situations, I've always had some type of headache as a result of it. And there's one quote that I utilize consistently to try to remind myself not to set expectations, even though it almost is like a natural reaction to how I live my life. And I think how a lot of people do as well. But it's by Seneca, who we've talked about Stoicism a lot in the podcast. But Seneca says, expectation is the root of all heartache. And I think it's so true, because no matter how much you want to work towards a specific outcome, I don't think it ever truly plays out how you plan it in your head.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that sentiment, because when you think about the times that you're feeling the most disappointed in your life, it's when you had an expectation and reality didn't meet it. I've often heard this quote that disappointment is the gap between expectation and reality, and how true that is. And so I do think that there is an element of needing to be cautious of the way that we set expectations in our lives, particularly when it comes to other people. But there is also another side of it that I have heard it said that we need to set the expectations that we have of ourselves far higher than the expectations we have of others. I know we're going to get into this a little bit more, but I wanted to just start by mentioning that, because I do think that there is benefit to having expectation of oneself, but there is still a fine line that needs to be carefully treaded to ensure that it doesn't end up becoming something that is a source of toxicity in your own life.
I think that's actually such an interesting point, because I think, yeah, we can certainly call it expectations, but you know, if we want to be very critical, I think I would want to almost go with the idea of setting goals as opposed to expectations. Because when you think about it, I think that when you have this, let me just preface this by saying that I 100% agree with you that we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. And if this is for some people via expectations, then I think it's great. I think for me in my personal life, when I've set expectations and I don't meet those goals, just like you said, I never was able to find that balance where those expectations did not become a toxic part of my life. When I didn't achieve what I had envisioned, then that expectation wasn't met. And therefore, it turned into almost like a degrading concept that then I was negatively self-talking, and it just became like a negative loop. And the less expectations that I met, the less happy I became with myself. And so when I shifted the narrative to goal setting, it almost felt as though, and it sounds maybe kind of like the same thing, but for me, psychologically, it wasn't, because when I didn't reach my goal, I was able to a lot easier, or with much more ease, able to identify why I wasn't reaching my goal and what I could do to reevaluate my approach to then at some point get to that goal. Versus with expectations, it was like, for me, at least mentally, it was like an all or nothing, which could be different for other people.
That's an interesting distinction, because I think it's subtle, but I do think it's effective. I will definitely concur that there have been times when I have set expectations for myself and I almost berate myself internally when I fall short of it. You mentioned the word standards, and I do agree that that's probably a step in the right direction. I do like what you said about goals, because it allows you to kind of detach a little bit easier from the outcome and ask yourself what you need to change in order to progress towards that. I think that really what is at the root of this, whether we call it goals, standards, expectations, is the spirit with which we approach shortfalls or failure, for lack of a better term. So let's go with this example of two people who are in a relationship wanting to improve their communication. When one person falls short of the standard or the goal or the expectation that has been set, what is the approach? I think that that really is going to be the determining factor as to whether it's going to be something constructive or deconstructive, or something that's going to breed toxicity. I think another really good example of that that I've seen in my life is when I was trying to practice meditation. And they really emphasize this idea of gently bringing your mind back when it wanders. For me, I used to be like, I can't believe that it's only been 30 seconds and my mind has already gone in all these different directions. That right there, that toxic energy, that disappointment you have in yourself, that ruins the spirit of meditation. And so it's so interesting how such subtle things can plant those seeds that then turn into something else. And so the distinction that you made between goals and expectations, though subtle, I think it is a very important part of this conversation.
Because would you agree that like an expectation is essentially an individual's idea of how something should occur or how an event should happen?
Absolutely. And I think that in my own life, where I have fallen prey to this is when I have a conversation with someone and I believe that we have mutually agreed upon expectations. But it's always the person who starts that conversation that holds those expectations more dearly.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And we talk about stoicism a lot and like in the podcast, and you've heard this quote, and I think we've brought it up multiple times in the past, but Epictetus just says that do not seek to have events happen as you want them to, but instead want them to happen as they do happen and your life will go well. And I think that this is actually so profound because I've seen it in very short bursts in my life where I've gone somewhere and not set expectations. Like if I'm going on vacation and when you try like new food or you try a new place without really expecting anything out of it, it's like you almost get that full experience versus when somebody like hypes this place to be, you know, incredibly tasteful or like a club and they're telling you it's like this amazing place. Then you end up going and it doesn't meet those expectations, that then you almost like rid yourself of the opportunity of experiencing something new. I think that's why I think like expectations are terrible for all of us, unless you have a good relationship with expectations. Like you had mentioned before, it's like a fine line that you have to walk, being able to balance it out by being kind to yourself when those expectations aren't met.
Yeah, kind to yourself and then kind to others as well. I think that that's been one area that I've really needed to grow in. When you set really high and sometimes unreasonable expectations or standards or goals for yourself, that bleeds into the way that you expect things from other people, right? Like I've seen it in especially like romantic relationships in the past where I say, this is what I'm willing to do. This is what I'm willing to bring to the table. This is what is important to me. Because I used to always say that communication is the key in a relationship. And if communication is in place, then the relationship will work out. As I grew older, I realized that that wasn't actually necessarily true. What really is the cornerstone, the linchpin in relationships is respect. Because it doesn't matter how much you communicate to someone, if they don't respect you, they don't respect what is important to you, they don't respect the relationship, then it's irrelevant for you to talk about what is important to you, why it's important to you, and how it impacts you when certain things aren't seen. But I think that we also need to then apply that to ourselves as well, to give ourselves that same grace and understanding that we need to respect ourselves. When we act in a way that's not consistent with the image we have in our minds, right, that produces cognitive dissonance and that displeasure, we have one of two ways that we can approach it. Of course, the constructive way to do that is to say, hey, I fell short in this area, and to do what you had referenced earlier, to take an analytical approach, an empathetic approach, and understand that it's only natural that we are going to fall short at times and to constructively look at how we can close that gap between the standards and goals we set, the desires we have, and reality. But I think it's just all too easy to then fall into that spiral where it breeds toxicity, a poor self-image, negatively impacts the way that you view yourself and ultimately the way that you treat others. And so I do think that it is, as you said, a fine line. It is tricky though, but I think it's through conversations like this and just having an awareness, right? It's been a while since this topic of awareness has come up, but it's something that we talk about here all the time on this podcast, that that is the first step towards any sort of change that we want to make, and being honest with yourself about where you are and how it differs from where you want to be. I think it's just so key in this conversation.
A lot of the times in relationships, when you expect something out of somebody else, right? And that can lead to conflict when those expectations are not met. But I really like what you said about respect. And if we correlate it to that, if you have greater expectations for yourself and you hold yourself to a greater standard and you respect yourself, when other people around you don't meet those expectations, in my head, logically, I think that you'll be able to be a lot more kind and empathetic, not only to others, but to yourself, because you'll understand that not everybody is going to be exactly as you are, nor are they going to be able to see the world as you see it. And so this is the beautiful thing about Stoics and how they essentially really nail down the idea that we have to accept the world as it is. And in the same way that we have to accept ourselves as we are, we have to allow others to exist as they are as well. And so you even brought up earlier the point about two people in a relationship or in a conversation. As long as you are prioritizing, like, respecting yourself in the world in which you exist, and you're not jeopardizing that part of yourself for other people, I feel like you kind of live like a happier life, because it's a lot easier to accept what's going on around you because you're staying true to yourself, right? And I think that's why it's really good to, at least, even if you're only going to have expectations for yourself, to not really put expectations on others. And like you said, to have those conversations and let other people know, like, hey, this is what I'm seeing. This is, I'm not agreeing with. But and then, like, almost like putting the ball on their court and not putting the expectations that they have to meet those needs, but allowing them to make that choice. And that's what makes it so much more beautiful, really, in itself, when somebody genuinely has a desire to accept you as you are, because they understand that you are accepting them as they are.
I was thinking about a situation that I had previously experienced with somebody that I used to be closer friends with. And it actually all stems from expectations. Though I still believe those expectations to be reasonable, the discontent and I would say maybe even anger that I felt towards this individual, it's rooted in the fact that I had these expectations, regardless of whether or not they were reasonable. Essentially, this was somebody that I was good friends with for many years, and or as the years passed, we started drifting away a little bit. And I still continued to make the effort to reach out, and we would make plans and the person wouldn't follow through. And I just kept giving them the benefit of the doubt. And somebody one day, when I was telling them about how I had seen that this was developing in a pattern and that I had started to feel some resentment almost about the way that things were going, they said something so simple yet so profound to me. When somebody shows you what lane you're in, it's best to respect it. And I was like, wow. I had just been assuming that this person still valued the relationship, the friendship, the same way that I did, or the same way that we maybe both did in the past. But their actions were clearly showing that that was no longer the case. But out of expectation, I was still holding on to what used to be, which was leading to this annoyance and at times anger within me. But as soon as I was able to make that shift in my mind, I wouldn't say it was an instantaneous process, but that was when I was able to start letting go of that. I can say that because of the very timely advice that this person gave me, I'm a better person for it today. When we have expectations or standards that we are putting other people up to and comparing what it is that they're doing against these arbitrary expectations that we have in our minds, even if they are communicated expectations, I do think that that can be the root of some of the greatest unhappiness in our life, as we've been alluding to.
I agree, man, because I think when you start putting expectations on others that are your own, and you start putting people to these standards that you've created, then it's like you're imposing your beliefs onto other people. And then therefore you're not really accepting them as they are, and you're actually not allowing them to be who they are, because you create this idea and this fallacy of a person that you would like them to be, and then you're forcing somebody into being that person instead of allowing them to be who they are. And if you're not happy with that, then you can go and look for people that perhaps line up better with the beliefs that you have, right? And that's where you start getting into the concepts of like being and surrounding yourself with like-minded people who uplift you and have the same beliefs. And that's what creates like true connection. You talked about so many really important things, but one of the things that I want to highlight, and I think one of the most powerful things that we can do as people, is having the ability to walk away from our feelings, especially when it comes to expectations, or I should say unmet expectations in life. Because just as you had talked about, like when somebody's shown you your lane, respect it, is understanding that we have control over our, like ourselves, right? What we do, how we react to things. And so if we set expectations on other people, then we have to take accountability and be aware that it is our responsibility to take control of our feelings for those unmet expectations, because we shouldn't even be doing that to begin with. And so when we're upset or we're angry about unmet expectations by others, we should actually acknowledge the fact that people are allowed to be who they are. And if they've hurt you or they've done you wrong, you can voice that. But ultimately, they don't have to meet that expectation if it's not within their desire to do so. And so if you're able to walk away from your feelings in that moment, you'll almost like be set free, which is a super powerful thing. I can't always do it, but when I can, it's so empowering and freeing. And you just got peace within yourself because, you know, like ultimately, like your conscience is clean.
Yeah, I like that your conscience is clean. And you had made this comment earlier before we started recording, but how expectations can lead to stagnation, I think it's heavily tied to feelings, right? When we get stuck in the mire and the muck of negative emotion, it's one of the most disempowering things that a human being can experience. And I think that we've all been in those situations where we're just so overwhelmed by emotion that it dulls our decision-making, it stymies our ability to take proactive action, and we fall into this victim mindset that we've talked about so often that we try to guard so hard against, but it's too, almost at times too easy to slip into that. For myself, one of the greatest liberations that I've experienced in life is exactly what you had just talked about. Not allowing our feelings to decide how we're going to react, to allow them to be indicators rather than dictators. One of the greatest lessons that I've learned about emotional intelligence is to take a moment when I feel strong emotion and to ask myself why. Because oftentimes what I have found is that something that I hold as important, dear, valuable, something that is near and dear to the core of what I believe to be right and who I am, it means that something in that realm is being violated or tested or compromised. And that is why I am having this strong emotional reaction. But when we take our time to detach and walk away from our feelings, as you so eloquently said, that's where some of the greatest power that I've experienced in my own life has been. When I can say, yes, I do feel this way right now, but I'm not going to allow this to lead me to act in a way that compromises my values, or in a way that I will, once this strong emotion has passed, regret. Emotional intelligence is something that I think so many of us can really benefit from trying to grow in, but it's not easy when we're stuck in that intense feeling of whatever it happens to be. The first thing that I think many of us want to do is just react, whether it's to lash out at ourselves or at our loved one, or to talk about all the ways in which we're disappointed. Oftentimes, I think that that's where we end up doing some of the most significant damage in relationships, and also to our own self-image when it comes to the relationship that we have with ourselves. It's a powerful thing to be able to do, to take that moment to analyze and then to walk away and to come back, right? And to re-enter maybe that space, that emotional space where we first experience those emotions when we're a little bit more calm. I think that it's critical, and it's a significant game changer that has produced some beautiful fruit in my own life.
I 100% agree. As somebody who, for a long time in my life when I was younger, had significant struggles with controlling my emotions. Every time I feel like I need to react to something, and it's not perfect because I am human just like anyone else and I make mistakes. But one thing that I like to remind myself when I'm in a difficult situation that is evoking a lot of emotion in me, I remind myself that those who lose control of their own emotions have completely lost the plot. And as a result of that, every time I feel overwhelmed emotionally, I like to take space to allow myself to take some time to reflect on why, like you said, you know, why I'm feeling the way that I do, and allow myself to regain control of my emotions. Because you want to prevent these emotional responses that are not really grounded in objectivity, right? Because a lot of the times our emotions are a reflection of not necessarily just the thing that created that trigger that evoked those feelings, but there's a plethora of things that come as you're feeling very emotionally overwhelmed. Could be past experiences, trauma, and the list goes on. But another thing that we've talked about a significant amount in the podcast, and another thing that I keep very close to my heart, is the serenity prayer. And we brought it up a few episodes ago, but I think it's so important to keep this close to your hearts because it really helps you understand, in my opinion, that life is best lived by accepting it as it comes. And so I'll remind all the listeners again of the serenity prayer. But it says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The first part is so, so, so important. And it's just to accept the things you cannot change. And just reminding ourselves of what we're in control of, and that is ourselves. Everything else around us, we cannot change. We can't change other people. So focus on changing yourself if there's something that you're not happy with, which is then having the courage to change those things about yourself that you're not happy with. And then the ending part is so important, which is having the wisdom, the ability to reflect, critically think, and to be honest with yourself, to know that difference.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode, guys. As always, we greatly appreciate the support and tuning in every week to hear what it is that we want to talk about. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast wherever it is that you like to listen to podcasts, because we out here on every single platform.
Take care. Thanks for listening.